In anguish, some look at the world and say, why does God let it happen? Why does he not send help? Then God responds, I sent help. I sent you. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. In anguish, some look at the world and say, why does God let it happen? Why does he not send help? Then God responds, I sent help, I sent you. Now, we can understand this very readily, since God in us says, I sent help, I sent you. I sent your awareness of yourself so that you can accomplish anything you want to do. I sent you because you are the very best, because you are my perfect, not channel, but you are my perfect expression of me. You are me. You are what anything I am, you are. Now, if you ever want to limit yourself and say that you're not all of God, you know, or I'm not all of God, I'm not all that I have the potential of being, that's okay. We can do that. If you want to call a tank of gas half full or half empty, you know, either way works fine. One makes you think of empty, and the other makes you think of full. Depends on what you want to call life and what you want to call the adventures in life. I sent help, I sent you. So, we pray to our inner self, and we say, I want to have this answer, I want to have this answer. So our inner self says, okay, I sent help. Now, I sent you. Now, are you willing to listen? I sent the pure consciousness, which knows all answers. Are you willing to be open to that answer? Or are you going to hide from that answer? I tell the story over and over again because it's so good and so true. My mother always said, you're known by the people you associate with. And one of our people called up and said that her budget was small and that she didn't have the income to continue paying for her lessons as she's going along, because she always paid for her lessons by lesson rather than the whole amount at the beginning. And so she was delaying her lessons. She was behind two lessons. And Ellen called and said, what's going on here? You know? And she says, well, I felt so bad I wasn't able to pay for the lessons. I couldn't send them in. And Ellen said, if you ever have that as an excuse for not sending it in, you are very foolish, because the course goes on and the money will be there. But if you're going to live in lack and not be able to do each thing you promised yourself you're going to do, then you're not going to ever have money. Now, Ellen said, all right, what have you been doing today? And she told me a few things, Ellen said, and all right, now who have you been associating with? And she said, well, these people needed help, and those people needed help, and those people needed help, and I had to be there to help them. And Ellen says, come on now. You needed help. That's what it's all about. Those people didn't need help. They didn't need your help. They get along perfectly well without it. Now, Ellen says, my mother always told me, you're known by the people you associate with. Because, see, Ellen always takes these statements and makes them hers, which is great. And so she said, all right, now, student, I want you to start associating with wealthy people. Do you know any wealthy people? Yeah. I want you to start associating with them. I want you to start being friends with them. I want you to start going to dinner with them, being at their home and doing other things, and start having an abundance consciousness in your mind by associating with abundance people. And she said, well, I can't do that. I haven't got a dress that would be proper for going over to their house. Anything you wear is proper when you go visit a friend, Ellen said. Are you going to visit them because you want to make time with them? You want to beg from them? You want them to give you money? Yes, that's what you had in mind, wasn't it? You thought they were going to be your source. They're not your source. It's your attitude. You're going over there to get your attitude in shape. They have the attitude of abundance because they enjoy abundance. You want to be with them so that you get that attitude of abundance so that you can start enjoying abundance too, which you've always had. But no excuses now. Whatever dress you think is a nice dress and is clean and well kept, you put it on and you go over there and don't make any excuses for it. And you say, "Hi, how are you doing?" Just act as though you've been over there every other day. And sit down at the dining room table with them. Sit down in their living room. Sit down. Be one of them. You are who you associate with. You are the expression of the ideas you associate with, the people you associate with, the attitudes you associate with. So go over there. Now, I send you. I'm your divine inner self saying, go and do. Now, you start doing that. And as you do that, you're going to find that you don't only have one set of wealthy friends. You have lots of wealthy friends because your wealthy friends invite wealthy friends in as you're there. And you're going to be called, one of your friends, wealthy friends, is going to say, "Oh, Miss, won't you come and visit us? You have such a lovely attitude. I can see how your point of view would be so helpful to my son, because he's just at that stage where he needs to feel that he's important. And you are so lovely in sharing that idea. Sure, glad to come. Now, I'm going to send our car around to pick you up and bring you to our house." "Oh, fine, that'd be fine. And I would like you to stay for dinner. Now, we're having friends over, and these friends are very, very special people. Well, I really have nothing to wear." "Ha! You are my size. You're going to come and you're going to look in my closet and see which one of my dresses you would like to wear, because they're all the same size. We're both the same size. We're both gorgeous beings, aren't we? And so you just come." And so, you see, the door opens. "Well, Herb, you're making all this up." "No, these are things that have happened. I am not making up things. I'm merely taking things from here and there and putting them together." And I can certainly do that because they did happen. And a lot more happened. In fact, if I were to make up really the things that all that, not make up, but if I were to gather together the things that really did happen in my whole life, you'd say, "Wow." And I put it all in one picture. You say, "Wow." And I said, "Yeah, but these happened over a period of time. But that makes no difference. They happen." And they do happen. They happen in just that way. Now, are you ready to recognize that you're the one who God called to be you? You're the one that God called to go forth and act and be. You're the one who is perfect. You're the one who is fantastic. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for such an experience like that? In anguish, some look at the world and say, "Why does it have to happen? Why does God let it happen? Why does he not send help?" And then the God that we are responds, "I sent help. I sent you." So go out into all the world and preach and teach and heal and share. Raise the dead. Yes, raise the dead, I tell you. We were talking about Ellen's mother-in-law. And she's an older lady in her 90s. What is she, 93, 2? She's up there, and she's been lying in bed sick, pretending she's going to die for, 5 years, more or less. And so the family is getting a little tired of it. So they hung her burial gown up on the door in her bedroom. And it's a very beautiful gown, a very lovely dress, it's a very charming outfit. And so every day, Grandma's looking at this. And so Ellen says, "There's got to be some changes going on here." And so Ellen said to her daughter, "Next time you go see Grandma, you tell her, 'I see they've got your dress out there ready. Come on, when are you going to get up and let's go to a party? That's your party dress.'" And Grandma says, "Well, dear, we're going to bury me in that." "No, no, 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 that's your party dress. That's your getting up dress. That's your getting out dress. And it's time that you get yourself back together again. Stop pretending you're going to die. Start living." And you know, she just said that recently. So who knows what's going to happen to the old girl. She may get so sick and tired of having people want to tell her what to do, and that she's supposed to die, or she's supposed to live, or she's supposed to do it. She'd just take that dress right off the hanger there, slip into it, and careen out into the hall and say, "World, here I come. 93, doesn't make any difference. This is me." And why not? Why not? You don't have to be decrepit when you get old. You don't have to have your funeral clothes hanging on the door, you know, reminding you that it's time to shuffle off. We want to get this burial over with and get this hospital done with. I don't blame the people. I'd be tired of people who hang around hospitals too. And that's silly. If you're going to be in the hospital, die. If you're going to not be in the hospital, then live. You know, you don't have to be buried. You can live. And so what do you think is going to happen to Grandma, Ellen's mother-in-law? She's probably going to start getting back in shape, dancing light fantastic, and put everybody to shame. She's, "I want to meet my great-grandchildren, and I want to play with them. I want to have fun with them, because I have the most beautiful great-grandchildren on the face of the earth. Wow. I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren." Yes. You see, she knows. She knows. See, Mariella is her grandchild. And her great-grandchild is who? Yeah, five. Five little monsters. They would really give her a run for her money. Can you imagine if those five little monsters took Grandma in hand and took them doing all the things they do? She would be just worn out. Or she'd wear them out. I kind of think grandmas nowadays have a different attitude. They seem to wear out the grandchildren instead of the grandchildren wearing them out. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful way to have it. And I think that we can all do that. I sent you. I sent the help. I sent you. We are the help in our own life, in our own world. We don't go around helping other people. We help ourselves. This is the divine in us directing us to be all that we can be, to be all the fantastic qualities that we can be, all the amazing experiences that we can be. And Ellen says to me, "Herb, that's the last time I tell you about the two telephone calls I got this morning. Both of them went right straight into your talk, and both of them came out pretty nice." And I know that our student is going to go around associating with wealthy people, and she's going to enjoy this new attitude of wealth, and it is going to be followed up by the experience of wealth, the manifestation of wealth. And Grandma is going to get her act in order, and she's going to take that burial dress off the hook, because it's a nice dress. We think of burial dresses black and, you know, miserable and so on. This is some light, beautiful thing that Grandma always looked good in. What's her favorite dress. And so she's going to put it on. And she's going to go waltzing out into the hall in the hospital and say, "Hey, how do you get out of this place? Where's the exit?" And they'll say, "Ma'am, who are you?" "Well, I was in room 42 there." "Well, the woman in 42 is just about dead. You can't be her, you know, although that is the dress we were going to bury her in. You must be her." "Well, for goodness sake, bless your heart, and heavens to Betsy, you look so wonderful. Come on, let's go have a cup of coffee." "Well, it's about time you asked me, you know." And so they have a cup of coffee. And then the nurse says, "Well, look, instead of eating this hospital food, let's go out and have a nice dinner somewhere." Huh?
Minestrone.
Well, that's just a soup, you know. Well, maybe that's a good stuff, too. So Grandma and the nurse from the hospital go out. Well, see, Grandma doesn't have her purse with her. They took her purse away from her, you know. They took all of her personal belongings away from her because she really wasn't going to use it. But the nurse had her purse. And so the two of them went out, and there's a glorious restaurant right across the street from the hospital. And the restaurant is Mr. Fantastic, you know. And so here they go in at noon, and the restaurant is packed. And Grandma says to the maitre d', "You have room for the two of us." And the maitre d' says, "Yes, ma'am," and gives them table center and gives them all the things that they could ever possibly want. And the nurse says, my grandma, you certainly know how to handle things here. And she says, well, my children usually handled it for me. They always took away the privilege of me doing it. But I always knew how. I just didn't take responsibility. But from now on, I mean, I'm only 92 now, but from now on, every year of my life is going to be a year of adventure, a year of fun, a year of excitement. And so it is. I sent help. I sent you. Now, each one of you, start looking at your life a little different. Start looking at your world a little different. And give up this attitude of, oh, poor me. And take on the attitude of, wow, I'm the master of my soul, the captain of my life. I'm ready to go. Let's have a ball. Let's have a party. And sure enough, they have a party. So, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.